A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
How about we end the week on some good news? The Salt Lake City Police Department touting a big drop in crime. They think they know why. Here's a snapshot, Dave, of a new report that's been released. Go back to August of 2017. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 burglaries, thefts, and assaults on the west side of downtown Salt Lake City. Almost half as many in September of 2019.
That's incredible. In just 2 years to drop 50%. I mean, this is victory lap kind of stuff for the chief of police, right? I mean, this is where you run around. I would have a hard time not being very braggadocious about this. I would be shouting this from the rooftops.
Salt Lake City Chief of Police Mike Brown on the line with us. Hope we didn't catch you on your way to lunch, Chief.
No, you're good, Debbie and Dave. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So why the big drop in crime?
Well, Debbie, you know, you've been with us. You've come to our concept.
I have. You've
kind of seen the inner workings of the police department, how we've moved to an intel-led policing model, and we've continued on that path, and we've refined it, and we look at the hot spots, and we deploy our resources accordingly. But what we really have tried to do is work with our community, and we've asked them to help us because we can't do this alone. And the better that they trust and are involved in this process, the better we can serve these communities.
Chief, you talk about an intel-led policing model. Will you describe that a little bit to our listeners, what that means?
Well, what we do, and CompStat is kind of it's a cliche term that's used across the country, and there's different models, but what it is you look at the intel, and you do it quickly. You look at when and where crimes are happening, but you can't wait 30 days. You've got to look within a week's period or even 24 hours, and then you have to come up with a plan, deploy your resources, and most importantly, measure it again and look to see if what you're doing is working, because if it's not, go back to the drawing board and we'll drop another play.
So, example, if you're seeing a lot of graffiti happening at a certain time and place, you start kind of flooding that area, you know, if it's always happening right after school?
Yeah, time and place. And, you know, over the last 4 years, we have talked about moving back to a community policing model. And we have put officers back into patrol, making that the backbone of our organization. And so, yeah, you fill up the beach, you fill up the neighborhoods with the police officers, and you put them and alert them of where they need to be at what times, you will have an impact on crime. And I think that's the success we're seeing right now.
Chief Brown of the Salt Lake City Police Department, letting the cat out of the bag that I've sat in many, many Salt Lake City Police Department meetings listening to crime stats. It's what I love to do, and I'm sorry that I have to miss so many of your meetings because I have the show now, Chief. But it's so nice to have you on the air with us. One of the things that I always take away from those meetings is, so for so many years, police officers, police departments used this kind of a model where they were very reactive. People would call the police department, call 911, the cops would show up and then try to solve the crime. What this model of policing is doing and is obviously working to reduce crime is that you're proactive. So I remember sitting through one of the meetings that I was at, and there was, you know, a rash of car break-ins, which are super annoying to the person who has their car broken into. And your team was able to figure out exactly who was doing this based on the fact that there had been somebody recently released from prison who had been known to do a series of car burglaries in his previous life when he was out on the streets. And no kidding, you were actually able to deploy resources to stop more car burglaries from happening, and you caught the bad guy.
Yeah, no, it's not that hard. You really just look at, like you say, who could be possibly doing these crimes, when they're occurring, where they're occurring, and then deploy your resources. And you're right, Debbie. Every time there's a crime committed, we've kind of failed a little bit because we've allowed it to occur. And so we've moved to a very proactive model. And sometimes that's hard to show exactly what you've prevented. But over time, and I think that's what we're seeing and enjoying right now, over the last 4 years, crime is down. Part one of crimes, the most serious crimes that occur, are down almost 30% in the city, and that's fantastic. That's great for the community and the citizens that live here in Salt Lake City.
Why and how did we move away from this way of doing police work?
You know, Dave, I don't know. I kind of look back over my career, and I think we've kind of specialized our way out of community policing, and I don't think it was intentional. I think back in the early 90s, we saw an uprising in gang crime, and so we took 8 to 10 officers, and we made a gang squad. And then during the late 90s, when I-15 was shut down, we expanded our motor squad. And so we've kind of specialized, and we created these different specialized units, not that they weren't needed, but we beefed them up. But when you take officers to build these units up, they all come from patrol, and so that leaves your neighborhoods vacant. So we've tried to reverse that and actually put people back into patrol and fill up those communities and the neighborhoods that we serve.
Chief Brown and I have had a love-hate relationship over the years, but mostly we get along quite well. And one of the stories that I did when I was at KSL Television was slower response times. And by looking at your resources and where they need to be placed, I think you were actually able to improve response times for the citizens who dial 911 and need you guys there quickly based on, you know, some of these models that you're now using.
Yeah. No, I mean, you want to reduce crime and you want to reduce the fear of crime. And if you're not showing up in a timely manner, that weighs heavily on those you're trying to serve. But, hey, Debbie, it's not a love-hate.
It's always.
You made some very good points, and we still have your name tag, so whenever you're ready to come back.
Chief Brown, thank you so much. And, Dave, they did. I was showing up to so many of those meetings that they made me a nameplate. That was my spot when I showed up to the meeting. One of these days, you're not going to be able to find me anywhere. I'll be over there at the Salt Lake City Police Department sitting in their intel meetings.
Yeah, some of the conversation is the reason this has happened is because of Operation Rio Grande, right? Whenever you throw money at a problem in police work, it tends to help. What I'm afraid of is when that extra money starts going away, what's going to happen?
You just heard from the Salt Lake City Chief of Police live on the line with us, talking to us about a 30% drop in what they call part one crimes, which are the most violent crimes. Those are the crimes that you never want, you know, any crime to happen to you, but particularly you don't want to be walking down the street and be assaulted. You don't want your car broken into. You don't want these bad, bad things to happen to you and your family. And I think that's a significant drop. It's very telling that something that they're doing is working. And I'm really excited about this newer model that they've been using it for quite a number of years, Dave, maybe 3, 4, 5 years now here in the Salt Lake City area, where they're able to get out in front of the problem and figure out where the hotspots are, get their officers over there, essentially kind of walking the beat and, you know, deterring crime before it happens.
Yeah, and one of the things that Chief Brown talked about is we'd become so specialized. And when you specialized, you learned more and more about less and less. And sometimes that hurts the overall picture. So, Chief Brown, congratulations. Those are great numbers. We're happy for you. We're happy for ourselves as well. Because
it's a happy way to end the week, Dave.
Yeah, this is good for everybody. You know, assault cases down, theft, robbery. All those down, total crimes down. Congratulations to Salt Lake Police Department. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Dave and Dujanovic Show. We'll see you next week. And as always, we leave friends.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. now available anywhere you get your podcasts.